Willing to Go Ham podcast here, guys. I'm actually on my way to work. You know, I was talking to a group of my friends. They're like, bro, who the fuck works on Sundays? I'm like, a brother that wants money. A brother that's trying to save up for some trips. You know what I'm saying? That's who works on Sundays. And plus, with the Eagles being out, I don't really see a need or a reason to, like, not work. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to pick up as many Sundays as I can, especially in the off season. But, and shout out to my guy, Trey Lye Day, man. That Chiefs Ravens pod was a lot of fun. I definitely want to have him more on the podcast to talk about some, other sports narratives and things like that as well. Very bright dude. You know, I fuck with him. He's an overall great guy. He's kind of like Nostradamus, man. He just kind of knows shit. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, it comes to fruition later on, and then it makes people look dumb. I kind of like that. So, while I'm here, you know, I am going to do a game preview for the Niners-Lions game, which, you know what? Here's the thing. I understand that people are, me personally, I'm upset because, like, I'm going to work, right? The game starts at 2. I'm not off until, I'll be off and the game's going to be over, but luckily I'll be streaming the game, right? So, I'll be streaming the game on the way there. So at least I'll catch some of it. Now, I look at this game with the Lions and the Niners, and people are like, well, why is it that, you know, why is it that the Chiefs aren't that, that's not the primetime game in the Ravens, which I think it should be. But man, look, the narratives that can go in for this Chiefs-Ravens game and the Niners-Lions game, I mean, you could come up with like 1,000 different narratives, you know what I'm saying? And I think that the Niners in Detroit, especially Detroit, like, we're forgetting, Detroit has not been, like, they haven't been shit. And now they're in the NFC champion, like, for real, like, they haven't been shit. I don't even think they made the playoffs last year. Matter of fact, they didn't make the playoffs last year. And Dan Campbell is a likable coach. He's a likable coach. He got his players to believe, man. So whatever it is that, and I'm sure he's going to get a hefty contract in this offseason. And yes, he deserves to be coach of the year. Hands down. Like, that franchise was moribund. If you don't know what that means, look it up. But yeah, this deserves to be at the primetime slot. They deserved it. Just because they're not the sexier team, you know, that has a quarterback that isn't the MVP and the darling, eye of the league, right? Doesn't mean that they don't deserve that slot. And then, of course, Brock Purdy, which I don't like Brock Purdy, but that motherfucker shows up when he's supposed to. System quarterback or not. Jared Goff. I mean, he was a league write-off and considered a potential bust because of his lack of production, or not lack of production, but he just didn't have that it factor to get the Rams to the promised land like they wanted. So I feel like this game has to be talked about. Okay. So I had to pull over and talk about this shit in the parking lot. So anyways, when we're looking at this Lions-Niners game, let's talk about the ascension of the Lions first, man. We'll talk about that. The Lions are a team of guys who I feel like, and it's kind of like the Ravens too. They're a team that has a chip on their shoulder, especially with their offseason acquisitions that they made 2 years ago, like trading Matthew Stafford to the Rams and getting Jared Goff. You know, like I said, a guy who was a number one overall pick, and they thought he was done. They thought he was washed. And now he's leading the Lions to the NFC Championship. You know, and I said this year, I said this year, they're going to be good because of their free agents that they signed, because their offensive line has another year together. And I knew that guys like a Taylor Decker, Frank Ragnow, Penei Sewell. Like, I knew that these guys were going to be good and solidified. Like, 3/5 of their offensive line, I'm pretty sure, are all pros. And, like, maybe 2 pro bowlers in Taylor Decker. Taylor Decker and Frank Ragnow. I could be wrong. But Penei Sewell, to me, has that, what's that guy's name? He's got that Jonathan Ogden type of, like, capabilities, man. Like, he can really get the job done. And then you look at the skill players, guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, who's kind of like bounced around the league, you know, here and there. I can't remember where he played. Did he ever play for the Chargers? Maybe it was either the Chargers or the I can't remember. But you got him. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown. You got Jameson Williams, who's kind of been, I think he got in trouble for the NFL substance policy and stuff like that. But there's a lot to like about this team, man. There's a lot to like. And then defensively, their acquisitions on defense are so underrated, man. Like, we knew that they had guys like Aiden Hutchinson, right, who to me I think is the second coming of T.J. Watt. But they picked up Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the offseason. They drafted Brian Branch out of Alabama, who I wanted the Eagles to draft, and they didn't do it. They signed or they drafted Jack Campbell out of Iowa. Like, there's a lot to like. I don't think they got what's his name? Sutton. I can't remember what his first name is, but they got him at corner. Like, there's a lot to like about this team. Like, and they're on the map now. Detroit gets the last laugh, because I totally did not have them going to the NFC Championship game. That was not in my cards. You know what I'm saying? But then you go over to the Niners, right? The Niners, you know, Brock Purdy at quarterback. Last season, you know, the narrative was if Brock Purdy plays in that game, the full game, they go to the NFC, they go to the Super Bowl. That's what they believed. And I thought, I was like, man, whatever. But they came in, and when they kicked the Eagles' ass, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm still convinced that the moment was too big for him. But now he's got another year under his belt. Kyle Shanahan didn't give up on him. And now he's become a national story for resiliency and believing in yourself, and his teammates believe in him. And now look at where he's at now. Like, I mean, he's become a fan favorite of the 49ers fans. But, you know, I just think that they trust in him. They believe in him to get the job done. Christian McCaffrey, you know, we knew that was going to be a trade. To me, I felt like the Panthers gave up a little too much, but you know what? It's paid off dividends, and McCaffrey has improved as a runner. He's improved as a route runner as well, or a runner, route runner, and also being utilized within that offense. You know, there's a lot to like about him, and you know, they devalue the running back position, but that guy's a weapon. Quiet is kept. Debo Samuel, you know, Debo Samuel, once again, just a monster with the football in his hands. You get to him any way you can, and he's gone. Like, I mean, he'll truck your grandma over if he has to. Brandon Ayuk, you know, was he even going to make the team? Was he going to, you know, him and Shanahan didn't get along early on, and now he's a key contributor. George Kittle, the maniac. You know, they got guys also like Ronnie Bell. I know Ronnie Bell, you know, Kansas City native, Park Hill, went to Park Hill, Michigan alum. He's contributing as well, you know, and the offensive line, you know, yeah, they got Juszczyk. They're just stacked defensively. I mean, dude, once again, the best, I would say the second best linebacker tandem, and I'm hoping that Philadelphia catches on to this, that they need linebackers if they want to be successful. But you got guys like Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner, all pro bowler, two-time, multiple-time pro bowler. Not really a fan of their corners. I mean, Tre'Davious Ward is pretty good, but they can be had. Their defensive line, I mean, Javon Kinlaw, okay, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Randy Gregory, Eric Armstead. These guys are, I mean, they're stacked. They're stacked. I wish that Hufanga guy was playing. That would have been dope too, but they're stacked, man. And both of these teams, I feel like they match up pretty well. Although I think that the Niners have a much more physical offensive line than an experience than what Detroit has for their defensive line. The matchup I'm looking forward to, though, like I want to see, what's that cat's name? Is McGlinchey still with the team? I can't remember. But Trent Williams, you know, I don't think they're gonna line up Aiden Hutchinson on Trent Williams. Like Trent Williams is he's a dog, like 100%. But I want to see how these tackles do against the edge rushers. I want to see what they're gonna do, because Williams can hold his own, but they're gonna have to double team Aiden Hutchinson, and whoever's in the interior, they're gonna have to try to get up the middle and get to Brock Purdy, which I think that they can. But you know, because I think that the Niners' strengths really aren't in the tackle. It's not in the interior. It's more so at the left tackle spot. But they're gonna get them. They're gonna make sure that they get the ball out quick, you know. And I think they're gonna be able to run, obviously, with McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell. They'll be able to run. I think that as long as Brock Purdy keeps the ball out of harm's way and doesn't turn the ball over, I think they have a big shot, you know, and they're able to go. But Detroit's secondary, I feel like, is better than the Niners' secondary. Like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's gonna be all over the field. Like he's. He I, and I'm so mad that the Eagles didn't want to re-sign him, dude. Like, I'm so upset, because he deserves that money, and I hope that they re-sign him in the offseason, but we'll see. And when I look at, you know, the Niners defense against the Lions offense, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, like, I mean, there's just Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, that kid is a speedster. David Montgomery, you know, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to be desired. But I wonder, though, if you, because here's the thing, if the Niners can get to Jared Goff, if they can get to Jared Goff and get him rattled, you can see it in his body language. You can see it in, he gets real paranoid, his hands start shaking and shit. Like, if they can get to him, they're going to win the game, like, multiple times. Even if they don't sack him, they got to hit him. Goff would much rather get rid of the ball than get hit. Like, I know that for a fact. So, but his pocket presence has improved out. It's improved a lot. So I feel like the Niners can really take advantage. And here's the thing, it's strength on strength, though, because the Niners, like, their interior, I think that the Detroit Lions have the best interior lineman, I would say, in front of Kansas City, because I know that Joe Tooney's not playing today, but they have a great interior line. Like they're going to want to pound the football. And I think what both teams are going to try to do is run the ball, play action, utilize a lot of play action, and keep their quarterbacks out of harm's way, because both of them can be rattled. They both can be rattled. It's just a matter of who can get rattled the most. So I look at this matchup and I'm like, you know what? A lot of it is strength on strength. You know, and to be honest, I think if I had a prediction, you know, I would say I think the Niners pulled this off by a score of, I say it's going to be 34-20 Niners.